If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open to Psalm chapter 23. Don't go to Psalm 23. Go to Psalm 24 is where we're going to be at this morning. And if you have your Bible with you this morning, I encourage you to keep a hold of that because I'm going to run through a number of scriptures. And so keep your Bible. If you don't have your Bible with you this morning, there's probably one in the chair rack in front of you. And so please feel free to grab that. Thank you for being here today. I know you could be other places today, and I'm glad that you're here. And I just trust that you have sensed God's presence here today. And I hope and I pray that as I share from God's word today, that it just encourages you and it bolsters you and it just does something for your faith. I'm beginning a 3-week series on stewardship. Now, when I say the word stewardship, sometimes people immediately think, oh man, he's going to ask for money. Don't worry about that because that's not going to happen for 2 weeks. Actually, I'm not going to ask for your money. Because I believe that God asks for your money, actually. And so that's going to come in a couple of weeks. But today, where I'm going to start is this, that God owns everything. And I'm going to talk to you about that today. And I'm going to just share from God's word of how God owns everything. And then as we get a little more centered on that next week, I'm going to talk about how God wants you to give your life to him. And then one of those things that tugs at our hearts very closely is what we give of our finances. And so I'm going to talk about that in a couple of weeks. But I want you to know that God owns everything. He owns it all. He created each one of us. And each one of us would not have life without God. And if we did not have God, we simply would not be here. I encourage you next week, maybe there's a friend that you have that's been wondering about God and their life, and they're just kind of wandering. And you should invite them. Maybe God's even bringing somebody to your mind right now that you're saying, you know, somebody's been struggling about should I trust and follow God and should I not? Next week, I'm going to talk about the stewardship we have of our own lives, of giving ourselves to the Lord. And so I encourage you to bring somebody. There is a biblical concept of giving. And so on February 11th, I'm going to talk about that. And I believe that when we give unto the Lord, he just blesses us. I mentioned this in the first service, and it would be great if those of you who have given unto the Lord would just, many of us have have some kind of a testimony there of how when we've given to the Lord, God has blessed us. And so if I get really boring during the message, you want to write something down and say, this is a great story of how God has blessed me because I've given to the Lord, you feel free to do that. And I just want to say this as well. Thank you for those of you who give unto the Lord faithfully. Week in, week out, month in, month out, whatever you want to say, you just know that giving unto the Lord is a good thing. So thank you for giving to the church and seeing what God can do through the money that you give. Now, I want to say this. This message today might be a little challenging for some of you. And here's why. Sometimes when we come to church, we're expecting this point in time for Pastor Steve, whoever gets up in front, to say, okay, here's what's going on, here's what you need to do, and here's how you're going to apply it. I'm going to leave that last one just kind of out there today. I'm not really going to apply much of anything today, just so you know. I'm not going to give you 5 steps. I'm not going to give you things you write down. This is how what I want you to get out of this message is this, that God owns everything. And because he owns everything, are you willing to live and embrace that? And were you wanting to say, God is the maker and the runner of the universe, and because of that, I'm going to live this way. Now, hear me in this. This is not going to be an earthy message. So I'm not going to say, this is what you need to do. You need to recycle. And if you're not recycling, I'm going to come and I'm going to find you and I'm going to come bang on your door and say, no, no, no plastic. Let's use all natural stuff, okay? Some of you maybe use natural deodorant. And if you do that, praise God for you. But I'm not asking you to possibly do that, all right? And if you want to, I'm not going to get all green on you here. I want you to know that God made everything. And because he made everything, there is an order that comes. There is distinction that comes for each of us. And so would you be willing to open your heart and your mind to the fact that God owns everything and he made everything for us? Charles Ryrie says this, God owns everything because he made everything. If you would join me in the scripture, it's in Psalm chapter 24. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. It's on the chair Bible on page 458. I believe it's on the screen behind me, or maybe you want to follow along on a gadget that you might have. Here's what it says. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. You need to hear this. You are living on a planet that was created for humans and animals and for God. What a wonderful thing. May I today publicly declare a big thanks to God. I mean, what a wonderful place this is. Isn't it wonderful that we get to live on this earth? Now, some of you are like, well, you know, you don't understand. Well, I know I don't understand everything, but I do know this. Wow, what wonderful trees, what wonderful snow, what wonderful cold, what wonderful warmth we have. God has created that for us. You may think, well, maybe there's some other places in which men live, women live. I'm not so sure of that. I'm not really going to debate you on that per se, but let me point to you a couple of facts of maybe why there's not life out there somewhere. Let me give you some examples here of why that may not be. First of all, we have this thing called a Redeemer. We have this thing called a Savior. His name is Jesus, and he came to our world to die on the cross for our sins. Now, if there's another world out there, then is there another Jesus that went to another planet somewhere and died on the cross and did all that? The same way, we have this thing called the Holy Bible, the written scripture, and I hope that you're in God's Word every day. I'm assuming you are, right? Yes, get in God's Word every day. That's important to do. Did God inspire another word for another group of people somewhere? And then the other thing I just want to throw in, the perfectness of our world, the perfect temperature, the perfect living space, water that we have is incredible. God created all of this. The earth is the Lord's. Psalm 50 verse 10 says this, for every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills. Maybe you were in the church long ago and you remember the song, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Anybody know that song? The wealth in every mine. Okay, I won't keep singing it. But it's a neat song that talks about how God owns everything. Has anybody ever played Count the Cows? Anybody ever played Count the Cows? 1, 2, 3. I'm really surprised by that. I thought when I say that, there would be many of you who would say, yeah, I've played Count the Cows, because somewhere along the way of my youth pastoring days, I got keyed into Count the Cows. Count the Cows is kind of a fun little game. There are some vast areas of driving in, well, let's just say North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska. Montana is one of those states. If you're from Montana, please excuse me, but the truth of the matter is when you're on Interstate 90 in Montana, it goes on forever. I mean, like, you fall asleep and somebody else is driving and you think, well, it's 10 o'clock at night, and when I wake up at 6 in the morning, whatever, sleeping all night long, I'll be in another place, and you're not. You're like, you're still in Montana. This thing goes on and on and on. Praise God for that. I grew up in Kansas, and from Salina, Kansas to Denver, Colorado on Interstate 70, I think you might be able to see some Denver from Salina. It's that flat. And you're like, wow. Anyway, Count the Cows is a game where you count the cows. And so if you're in a vehicle and you're driving down the road, people on the left-hand side all get the cows on the left-hand side, and people on the right-hand side all get the cows on the right-hand side. And then you, as you're driving along these vast wonderlands of nothingness, or beautiful creation. It actually is beautiful creation. I love wheat fields about ready to ripen in Kansas. If you've ever driven past those, wonderful combine. Anyway, so you count your cows and you have to individually count them. You can't just say, oh, there's 50 over there. Oh, there's 75. You have to count them. One of the divisors is 9 and 10. And then horses are great because horses are worth 10. And so that's a wonderful thing. However, one of the bad things about playing Count the Cow is cemeteries. Because when you have a cemetery, guess what you have to do with your cows? you have to bury your cows. And so if you're riding down the road and there's a cemetery off to your left, that's your cemetery. So all your cows are bye, 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 and you got to start over at one. If you're on the right, then all your cows and the cemetery is there. Now, of course, if you're in Montana, it's no big deal because you're going to have more space in which to count the cows. All those cows that you have counted or not counted, or will count on your next trip because I gave you a fun game to do in your car, is owned by the Lord. He owns all those. Now, we think we own them. We put a brand on them. I was talking to a gal that she does a beauty salon up in Buffalo, South Dakota, and she said that a rancher came in a while back and asked for her bleaching material in her hair. So instead of branding the cow, they were going to bleach the brand into the cow, all right? So all those cows, whether we think we buy and we sell them, are owned by God. The flock, I don't know if it's a flock of antelope. What's a group of antelope? What do they call those?
Herd.
Okay, the herd of antelope that are on the side of the road that you see belong to the Lord. The deer that you pray will stay right over there or over there instead of thinking that they need to jump into your vehicle belongs to God. The scripture is telling us every cattle on every hill is God's, every beast, every other animal. Why? Because he created it. Go back to Genesis, and here's what it says. Now, out of the ground, the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. When we understand that God owns all this and God made all of this, it changes our perspective. If we think we just came from an ape somewhere, then that we are really just slime coming out of the river, then we have, in my opinion, we don't have any purpose. But to know that we are made in the image of God on this earth, then that should expand us far beyond what we think of ourselves at times. And God created it for his enjoyment. I have one memory box in my house of memories from my childhood and from growing up years. I don't know about you. Maybe you have a memory box, or maybe you have a memory attic or a memory barn, or maybe I'm bringing up a not such a good topic with your husband or wife because of how much stuff you might have. But let's just say you have your memories, which many of you do. If you created something in that memory box, though it's been deteriorated over the years, or maybe it's not really all that good, when you made it, did you make it the best of your ability? You sure did. You probably didn't just, I'm just going to put this together and it's no big deal. No, you took your time. In the same way, though God only needed 6 days, he made this all very well for all of us. Here's a song. Here's the first verse of the song. It's written by Maltby Babcock. This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, his hand the wonders wrought. It says this: the earth is the Lord's, and it is, and the fullness thereof. What does it mean, the fullness thereof? The fullness thereof is the Lord's. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. What is the fullness? The fullness is everything. Everything that we can see or we cannot see. The areas that are out there beyond our imagination. And the universe continues to expand. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I begin to wonder, where do the heavens end? Have you thought about in recent days? How far can I see? I can see some stars, but if you ever look at the Hubble telescope and some of those things, wow, I don't know how they can see that far. I don't get that. That's beyond my understanding. Here's what Gill, a commentator, says. The whole universe, all the terraqueous globe, both land and water, and the circumambient air, and all that is there is therein, the fishes of the sea, the fowls of the air, the beasts of the field, all plants and vegetables that spring out of the earth, and metals and minerals in the bowels of it, all which are the riches of the Lord, the earth is full of. Deuteronomy 10, verse 14, behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heavens of heavens, the earth with all that is in it. I'm going to give you a couple of facts about creation. Enjoy these, hopefully. The sun is about 400 times more distant than the moon. Incredibly, or maybe even by design, you might say this, it is also 400 times larger. Isn't that interesting? It has the same angular size as the moon, meaning it appears the same size and covers the same portion of the sky. God made both of the great lights the same angular size and far larger in angle. The moon is the nearest and the natural celestial body. It's approximately 2,100 miles in diameter, roughly the size of the continental United States. The moon orbits the Earth at an average of 240,000 miles from us. Now, on one hand, that seems like a tremendous distance. However, have any of you ever driven a vehicle that's been in the 240,000 mile on the odometer? Anybody ever driven one that? Wow, a lot more in this service than first service. There's like three in the first service. But so in some aspects, you're like, 240,000 miles, that's a long ways. But a lot of these, I saw a lot of hands over here, have driven a vehicle as far as we could get to the moon. Now, of course, you didn't go to the moon in all your travels, but that would be kind of fun. And the moon orbits the Earth in a roughly circular path, taking about 1 month from start to finish. In fact, that's where we get the idea for a month. In Scripture, God created the celestial bodies to be signs, seasons, days, years, to work the passage of time. Jeremiah 32, verse 17, ah, Lord God, it is you who made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Our galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, contains 100 billion stars. I don't know that I could even write that number. I mean, I could. 100 billion stars. That's incredible to me. And this is what it says in Psalm 147, verse 4. He calls them each by name. That's the God in which we serve. In Genesis 1:26, if you happen to have your Bible, you can go there. If not, I'll read real quick. Here's what it says. I have the wrong verse here. So it's not Genesis 1:26, but it's in Genesis 1, and I won't find it right now. But here's what it says. It says that you can find it somewhere along the way. He made everything, and then it says, and also the stars. God made this and this, and the stars. Just like, no big deal. I mean, 100 billion stars is a lot more than just, and the stars. we can only read just a little bit, but he and the stars, incredible. I have a law up here on the screen that I want to show. Anybody know what this law is? You scientists in the room, anybody know what this law is? You can't raise your hand. You were in first service. Who? Force is not, well, that the F stands for force of gravity. Thank you. This is the law of gravitational attraction. Okay? Let me help you with this. I don't really understand this, but you understand gravity, don't you? Yeah. Hold you down. We're not flying all around. That would be kind of fun, but we're not doing that. If you want to do that, go to the moon. The force of gravity, which is F, on an object of mass, which is a small m, produced by a nearby mass, which is the big M, at a distance R, is related by this simple equation. The parameter, which is the G, is the gravitational constant on the universe. It sets the overall strength of gravity. G is a very tiny number, which is why gravity is weaker than the three other known fundamental forces, which is electromagnetism, the weak nuclear force, and the strong nuclear force. Now, the reason why I'm pointing this out to you is this. If creation were not true, if the universe had no designer, then why should gravity obey any formula at all? Now, hear me in this. This formula is man-made. We came up with this. But in order for the universe to work, it works with this. We work with this. Think of this for just a moment. If we are millions of years old and we are evolving, okay? Why isn't gravity pushing down more on me now? Has it on you? Well, sometimes you feel like it does. But, oh man, it's been a long day. I feel like gravity. But it doesn't. It hasn't changed. It continues to be a constant. Why? Because God made it that way. We don't start, I don't feel like I don't have any gravity pull on me today. No, you don't do that. You walk around on your tiptoes, and after a while, your toes get tired because you're walking around your tiptoes, and gravity's still working its force. God created the universe. I believe the law of gravity suggests a law giver. Acts chapter 17, verse 24. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man. Here's another thought. When God created the world, he created music. Now, I don't think that, my guitar's left. I use the guitar. I don't think that Adam said, hey, Eve, let's go play the guitar. I'm going to be over by this tree. Let's sing a little song. We're Adam and Eve in the garden. He probably didn't do that with a guitar. But somewhere along the way, God created man. He created man in order to realize that he could make a guitar. How incredible was that? That when God created the earth, he gave us the opportunity to have music in which you sing today. This little box thing here. Who created this thing? Are you kidding me? I mean, you know what I think I'm going to do? I'm going to come up with 88 keys. This sounds like a good one. Let's make this middle C. Okay, that's a great name. And then we enjoy music. When God created the universe, he gave man the opportunity to do something like that. That's incredible to me. I have another little gadget in my pocket. Many of you carry this. If something happened in the Philippines right now, do you know that you could know about it like right now? All of a sudden, or ding ding, or whatever, or woo woo woo, whatever your phone does. I don't know what your phone. Immediately, all that technology that we understand, there's sound waves that are going. I mean, of course, you can hear my sound, my voice, but there's like sound waves. And if I wanted to, I could pull out a little pocket radio and dial in something and listen to that. That's incredible to me. And it's a constant because God created it. In a week, many of you, whether you care about it or not, you might care about the food of it, are going to watch this thing called the Super Bowl. Many of you are not going to pay thousands of dollars to go watch the Super Bowl. You're just not going to do it. You're not going to go to Minneapolis and try to get a ticket. But you can sit down, and on this little screen, you can watch the figures. And when God created the world, he gave us that opportunity to have technology like that. I wonder, what more will be discovered? What more will we understand when we understand some of the things that God has created and given us these minds? The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. All of the fullness is God's. Number three, you are one of those who dwells within. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 14. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you and of you, your own, have we given you. It's just incredible. You get to dwell in this wonderful place. Isn't this, it's a great thing. That means you. That means me. Donald Trump, Kim Jong-un, Tom Brady, Nick Foles, Steve Allender, Miley Cyrus dwells here. Lindsey Vonn, in just a few weeks, she's one of those that are going to be joining in South Korea. And all those Olympic athletes, they get to dwell within this wonderful creation. Everyone has been given breath by Almighty God. We have no part in this. Hear me in that. You have no part in your breath. I mean, your body just does it. You had no part in bringing yourself here. In Acts chapter 17, verse 25, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. Have you ever thought about this? Why weren't you born in 492? Because God ordained for you to be born when you were born in 19 whatever or 2000 whatever. Isn't that wonderful? Why weren't you born in 1654? I don't know. You weren't. And God says, I'm going to have this person be dwelling right here, right now. God owns the heavens and the earth. He owns the United States. He owns South Dakota. He owns your property. He owns your house. He owns your appliances. He owns your job. He owns your clothing. Did you choose any of that? Well, I chose. Did you choose when you were going to be born? No, none of us did. In Psalm 139, many of you know this verse, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Now, I'm not going to have a birds and bees lesson with you by any means here, okay? But I will say this. God took two little particles and brought them together at just the right time to create you. And it was in your mother's womb. What an incredible thing. God does that. God loves each and every one of us. Psalm 46, verse 8 says, come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. What do you do with this message? Know that we have a God who owns the whole earth. And because of that, we should treat the earth, we should treat others, we should treat ourselves with respect that God wants us to. I want you to know that God has created all of this, and we need to be stewards of this. Know that God, who created heaven and earth for us to enjoy, has made you as well, and you can trust him and enjoy him. I read this song, the first verse at the beginning, and let me read the third verse. Here's what it says. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget. Let me just pause there for a moment. Maybe for you, you didn't even know that God created the earth. I'm believing that many of you believe this. But let me remind you, oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus, who died, shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one. Would you stand with me for prayer? Lord Jesus, thank you that you own everything. Thank you that you own everything. Thank you that you created everything. We live in a world, we live in a place where sometimes the public schools will tell us differently how we were from a Cro-Magnon man. Lord Jesus, you have created us. You have created this earth for us to enjoy and be a part of. Thank you, God, and may we be stewards of your earth. Thank you for the heavens and how wonderful they are. Thank you for the sun that continues to come up every day. Thank you for light. Thank you for life and breath. Thank you that the earth is yours. Thank you that we are able to dwell right now on this earth. And I pray that we would be grand stewards. Lord, as we're challenged from week in to week out at times of thinking we're not much of anything, oh God, I just pray for somebody here right now that they've just been thinking that they're nothing. I just pray that they would be reminded or know for the very first time that they are made in the image of you And because of that, you've given us this opportunity to be on your earth and to dwell. And so, Lord, may they dwell in a way that we be pleasing in your sight. God, thank you for life and breath. And I pray that as we go from this sanctuary on this day, that you would be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, and that you would guard each step. Be with our minds this week, Lord. Help us to think on your beauty and majesty and how wonderful it is and how you have created it for us. Lord, I also know there are some animals that are represented within this room from inside of each of our homes. Thank you for the animals that we're able to enjoy. You created those. And so, Lord, help us to be mindful of those as well. Thank you, God, for your love. And I pray that as we go out this day, that you would just remind us what a beautiful creation that you have given to us. We love you, and we ask for a wonderful week, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.